Welcome to another message of hope from Gateway Family Church. For more information or to contact us, please visit gateway.asn.au.
Good morning, Gateway. You guys can take a seat. As always, I'm very excited to share with you. My name is Sinj and I'm part of the youth and technical teams and things, other things around here. I'm pretty excited to be sharing with you and finishing off this series, which we called Let the Games Begin. We're in the fourth week of this series. And this morning I'm talking to you about the mind game. So far we've talked about the change game was the first week and about the value of change and some of the difficulties of being open to change. The second week we talked about the blame game, where we spoke about how blaming others stops us from improving ourselves and our relationships. And last week, Sally shared with us on the inclusion game, where we talked about how God embraces inclusion and how we can as well. And so this week, I'm finishing up with the mind game. And I actually had quite a funny experience last night. I was, my girlfriend's mum was asking me how my preparation was going for the message and what I was talking to her about. And the thing about messages is that sometimes when you get given a topic, sometimes it all happens. It all just comes together and you're just like, oh, this is sick. I'm pumped about this. Not that I'm not pumped about this one, but sometimes you still end up pumped at the end, but sometimes there's like a little bit more hard work that goes in. Sometimes it's a little bit harder to bring it together. And this is one of the ones that was a little bit harder to bring together. And so I was sharing that with her and she said to me, Sinj, do you think that might be your mind game for this week? So I do share that anecdote for a reason, and that is because I'm here to tell you that I do not have all the answers when it comes to the mind game. I think that we're all playing mind games, and I'm included in that. Really, what I want to stick to is a very small amount of my tiny bit of life experience and a hell of a lot more about what God and the Bible says about mind games. So I just wanted to give you that disclaimer early up that I don't have it all together. So before we start, I think it's important to talk about what do I mean when I'm talking about the mind games? And I really summed it up this way. I'm talking about the gaps between reality and what's inside our head. Because I think we all have gaps between what's happening in reality and what we're telling ourselves is happening, whether it's about ourselves or about situations or whatever else. So for outside influences, where like there's other people having influence in our life, I'm talking about the gap between what somebody says and means and what we hear. Like, who here knows that there's a gap sometimes between what somebody says and means to say and like what we hear? Sometimes there's a gap. Those times where the message sent and the message received end up being different. And also, I'm talking about for us in our own heads. Like, we play mind games in our own heads as well. And for that, I'm talking about the gap between evidence and what we know of our past experiences and what our thoughts end up repeating back to us. Because who knows that sometimes there's a gap between the evidence and what we know has been true in the past and how we know people have behaved, but then what we are telling ourselves about what's going to happen now or in the future. What aren't I talking about this morning? I think this is a very important little caveat that I want to put in. I'm not talking about situations where people are toxic or destructive or actively playing with you, because that is our things that happen. And those abusive people are sending a clear message which you are interpreting correctly, okay? So we're not talking about that. I'm also not talking about situations where there's a genuine reason that you might not be interpreting some of those things properly. I'm talking about the vast raft of mental illnesses and disorders that cause us to misinterpret information sometimes. And people who are struggling in that area need real help. And what I'm trying to say with that is, I'm not trying to, if you're in that boat, I don't want anybody to think that what I'm saying here through this message is, we just have to try harder and get better and stop. I just want you guys to know that I know that there's probably people in the room like that, and that's not what I'm talking about this morning. Is that cool with everyone? I'm talking about the games that we play in our mind, the gaps in our understanding that shouldn't exist, but do for some reason. And I think that we do all play mind games. One of the mind games that I know people play, and my housemate actually plays this mind game with herself, she has the clocks in the house set 5 minutes early so that once she like makes it to the car, she's actually gained 5 minutes on what she thought. Is there anybody else here who has the clocks in the house set forwards? That's a good mind game. I play a similar mind game. My clocks are all set correctly. But is there anybody here who knows, like I know, deep in my heart, that the snooze time on an iPhone is 9 minutes? And I set my alarm 18 minutes early so that I can snooze twice. Because for some reason, I feel better if I get to snooze twice before I get up, right? That's a mind game, okay? I don't know. And like, does anybody else, I like multiply it out. Sometimes I like give myself 27 minutes, like 9 minutes. That's the key. If you didn't know, now you do. I think there's other mind games though. I mean, those are relatively harmless. Those are ones that just help us, and we're toying with ourselves a little bit, but they're harmless. What about when you are car parking on a Sunday morning, or you've been at home doing housework all day and preparing dinner, or you're at a job where you feel like the boss doesn't appreciate you, or they haven't given you good feedback lately, or something like that, and you say to yourself, do they even really care? When the evidence says that they do, the evidence is that your boss has been appreciating your work, maybe just not in the last 2 days. When the mum who just pulled in the gate and didn't acknowledge you while you were car parking because she's got two sick kids at home does appreciate it but just isn't in the space to say that. When these things are going on, we play the do they even care mind game. Or what about the because they started it mind game? So here's, just to be clear, I didn't make this clear in the first series. I want to be clear. Made up examples. So I'm trying to find made up examples that might exist or would give you an idea of what I'm talking about. Just want to be 100% clear. Made up examples. The receptionist who is putting your mail in the wrong pigeonhole on purpose, because she does it every time and that's so annoying. I don't know what that might look like in other places, but this is the because they started it game. Well, she was the one who, she must have figured I did something, so then she's putting my mail in the wrong pigeonhole. Whoa, what's she doing? What's she thinking? Well, I'm going to say something when I walk past in the morning. I'm going to say something smart as I walk past the reception desk. That's the they started it mind game. And the key to the they started it mind game is nobody started it. You're starting it, right? And the other mind game that I think is an interesting one is one that I have named and have entertained at times in the past, and I call it Jonah-ing it. Jonah-ing it. I'm not assuming that everybody here knows the story of Jonah. So let me sum it up for you as quickly as I can. There's a guy named Jonah. He is very clearly from God, who gives him direction and a plan. Go to this city. And Jonah's like, that seems uncomfortable, and go somewhere else instead. That's Jonah-ing it. I know that I'm supposed to be going this way and doing this thing, but that seems hard. I'm going to move to Sydney and start my life again. Like, that is Jonah-ing it in my mind, which I have entertained at times. Probably a less St. John and more normal name for that would be the grass is always greener mind game, where you're never in the right spot. Of course, some would say that that's because there's more crap fertilizing the grass, but that's fine. And apart from the first example, which is my housemate setting the clocks early, just to be clear, those are all examples from, not the actual examples, but those are all games that I have played in my own life, right? We all play mind games. I'm sure in there somewhere you can see something, even if it's just the clock thing, you can see that we play these mind games. And your first feeling there is, and I believe it's because your mind is a battle for control. And I think that when we look at the world around us and what's going on and how people interact with us and how we interact with others, we can see this theme of control, whether it's getting control of yourself or people trying to take control of you or you trying to take control of other people. As humans, we feel comfortable when we feel in control, right? And one of the ways we do that is by playing mind games, sometimes with ourselves, sometimes other people are playing them with us, and sometimes we're playing them with the receptionist. Our minds are the key battleground, whether it's between you and your partner, you and your boss, you and a teacher, you and a friend, you and your kids. Your mind is the key battleground, because I think we spend a lot of time worried about whether there's an unhelpful mind game at play in the situations that we find ourselves in. Just for the record, I don't think that harmless mind games are the end of the world. If you want to have the clock in your house set 5 minutes early, that's your deal, okay? Like, just so we're clear, that's not hurting anybody. In fact, it's probably helping people because you end up on time, so that's a good thing. I'm talking about the harmful mind games that we play. And it's not just a physical battle, by the way. It's not just a battle in the world that we're walking around in and that we can see. It's a battle in the spiritual too. There's an enemy who wants Christians to be ineffective. And if you can be talked into being ineffective in your own head, what could possibly be better? But here's the good news this morning. We love the good news. We're here. We're all here for the good news. The good news is this, that God knows. He knows the struggles that you have with what people think about you. He knows the struggles that you have with trying to hold on to control in your life. He knows the struggles that you have in your own head when you're playing the did they start that, did I start that mind game. And his solution is the same solution that he so often offers to us. Give it up. Give it to me. Let me worry about it and let me rest in it. Let me fix that situation for you. And in Proverbs, which is a book of wise proverbs, it says this: trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Now I want to stop for a second, because a lot of us have probably heard this, and I just want to acknowledge the fact that when I was reading this years ago, I suddenly realized that it didn't make any sense. That's, to me, it didn't make any sense, because they seem like disconnected ideas. I don't know about how you read that and how you think, but if you stop and think about it, to me, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not depend on your own understanding are separate things. Like, how are those two things joined, right? They kind of seem separate. And as is often the case, there's a little bit more meaning behind some of these words. And in particular, I want to talk about the word heart, because, and maybe this is just me, but when I read the word heart, I immediately just jump to like feelings, right? Like feelings, your heart, what are you passionate about? It's a feelings kind of center. But in this case, the original language is much richer and isn't really talking about just your feelings. This word actually originally talks about your core, the core of who you are. And it doesn't just mean feelings. This word in particular is talking about your feelings, your will, where you're headed, what your plans are, and your intellect. All three things, the core of your being, are summed up in this word that we have simply translated as heart. So thanks for that, whoever translated that. But there you go. And all of a sudden, it makes a little more sense. Because it doesn't say, trust in the Lord with all of your feelings. Do not depend on your own understanding. What it says is, don't trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Trust in the Lord with all of your will as well. Trust in the Lord with all of your intellect, all the facts, all the things you can hold on to. Trust the Lord with those. Trust the Lord with the core of your being. And I want to offer, with that said, I want to offer an alternative word to understanding as well. And I'm not a biblical scholar, and there's probably a biblical scholar somewhere who's going to turn in their grave or something. But I'm going to offer an alternative word for understanding. I'm going to say this: trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own interpretation. Don't depend on how just your feelings. Don't depend on just your plans. Don't depend on just what you know. Trust God with all three of those things. Is that cool with everyone? Is everyone following me? And so I think this, obviously this leads us to the conclusion that a good person, a person that we can trust with our mind games, is God. But we don't all trust God with our mind games, do we? There's other people that we trust with our mind games. And I want to talk about a few of those groups of people. And most of these groups have a positive and a negative side. So the first group of people who we so often trust our mind and our thoughts and these mind games to is others, right? Others. We let other people have a say. And the negative thought, the thing that I would really like you to take away from this is don't let other people own your thoughts. Don't let other people own your thoughts. Don't let anybody else have control over how you feel and how you think. And I'm pretty sure, I used the example I'm about to use at youth on Friday night, and I'm pretty sure I lost some friends then, and I used it in the first service, and I haven't done a quick check. I haven't checked my Facebook, which is ironic about what I'm about to say, but I haven't checked my Facebook, but I'm pretty sure I lost some friends in the first service as well, and I'm relatively confident I'm going to lose some friends in this service too. But here we go, because that's fine. My example for this of not letting somebody own your thoughts is, do you post a selfie or a needy status on Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat or whatever the kids are using these days and wait for the likes to roll in so that you feel better about yourself? And then once you've done that, do you 10, 12 hours a day later realize that that hasn't lasted and I need to do it again? A week later, I'm feeling down, I need to do that again. That's giving somebody else, in a faceless group of people, that's letting them own your thoughts. That's letting them own whether you have value. That's letting them own whether you are happy. And that is not healthy. Don't let other people own your thoughts. Of course, the positive side to being open to input from a limited number of wise, trustworthy people is it is important to have other perspectives available to you. But I would still say that this is true. Even if they are wise, even if they are trusted, if they say something that doesn't sit right with you, you do not have to accept that. You do not have to let them own your thoughts. Is that cool with everyone? The second person who can have control of your thoughts is you. You and me. We control our own thoughts. That's what I'm talking about here. Here's the negative side of that. It can be hard to judge from the inside. We're talking about mind games. We're talking about the fact that in our heads, we have an ability to create a gap between what is actually happening and what our interpretation is. That's the whole point. You're not qualified to be solely in control of your thoughts. That's what I'm saying. I'm not qualified to be solely in control of my thoughts because I've already proven to myself that I'm not capable of doing it well. I think that my example that I used in the first service for this is the fact that I've spoken to some teenagers and other people. I've talked to some of the young adults and I've been through this. And it's interesting, I've spoken to some of the older crew around church about this idea. And I've realized that, you know, although there's these certain ages, nobody has really figured out how to be an adult, right? I'm 28 and I've made some pretty serious, I've got jobs, I've quit jobs, I've done this, moved house. I've done lots of things, bought cars, I've done lots of important things. And I'm still shocked at how often I look around to try and find an adultier adult to help me out, right? Yeah, I'm sure you're all with me. Nobody has this figured out. And this is the point. We are not qualified to be solely in control of the mind games and solely interpreting what is happening around us. So the positive side, though, of, which, you know, the others and this, they kind of come together in that it's good to have outside perspectives. And the positive side of this is, as I said, is not to let anybody own your thoughts. So to know who you are, to know who you're loved by, to know where you're headed. That's the positive side of having some ownership of your thoughts. But I still stand by this. It's hard to judge accurately from the inside. So then, thirdly, our third option for who we let have a bit more control in our minds is, this is going to be an absolute shocker, God. I know, right? Everyone's looking at me, stunned. Anyway, absolute shocker, God. And the key thing I want to say here is that I don't have a positive and a negative for God. Again, I know everyone's shocked, but I only have a positive. But I think this is an important positive this morning, is that God speaks the truth and he doesn't play the games. And I think that that's important because, you know, the self-talk and what we hear from others sometimes is not true. But remember, we have an enemy who wants us to hear those falsehoods from other people and wants to hear us create falsehoods in our own head. But I also think sometimes that this enemy is more than happy to let us think that we're just playthings on God's planet Earth playset, and that God is playing games with us. And there are examples of this in the Bible where people felt like God was messing with them. And I actually think that, myself included, that sometimes well-meaning Christians trying to make a particular point which isn't wrong can even feed into this. I'm sure that a lot of you, and I've used this phrase, so I'm not, you know, not up here just throwing stones. Like, I've used this phrase, right? Oh, well, you know, it couldn't be easy. If God's in it, it's got to be hard, right? Now, there's a good intention. There's a good intention behind that of valuing that God stretches us. But it also kind of gives the appearance that God's playing games with us. Like, oh, well, he's not going to make stuff easy for you. Like, he's just sitting back there like laughing. Made it hard for him. What a sucker. Like, and I think the truth is, some of us think that God is playing games with us, that he is, we still have this view that he's up there far away and, you know, like poking us like a kid pokes an ant nest with a stick. Do you know what I mean? And just seeing what happens. But God's not playing mind games with us. His promises don't return empty, although they may not reflect your plans for life. He's not testing you to make you prove yourself. He's not creating difficult situations for you. He's growing you through a situation that's the result of living in a messed up world. And he's not messing with you. He's not messing with you just because you don't understand what's going on right now. Just because you don't understand what's going on right now, that doesn't mean that God is messing with you. That just means that you don't understand what God does. And I don't know about you, I'm okay with that, because I say this to the youth crew all the time. I wouldn't be attracted to following a God if I was on even par. If I could understand everything that God did, to me, that's empty. I want a God who I don't understand. I want a God who can do more and can do things that I can't see reasoning for. Yeah, and so, you know what, whether you know him or not right now, the Bible, and also all I can say to add to what the Bible says is, my personal experience says that God is perfect and honest and loving and wants to speak to all of us directly. And when I doubt that, I've learned to take Jesus' example. And that's to test the scriptures. What is God saying in the scriptures? Something that is not shifting, right? Something that's been around for a long time. Jesus took solace in these, and we can too. You might say that it's impossible, but God says all things are possible. You might say, I'm too tired, but God says, I will give you rest. You might say, I can't figure this out, but God says, I'll direct your steps. You might say, I can't do it, but God says, you can do all things. You might say, I'm not able, but God says, I am able. You might say, it's not worth it, but God says, it will be worth it. You might say, I can't forgive you. I can't forgive myself, but God says, I forgive you. You might say, I can't manage. God says, I'll supply all your needs. You say, I'm afraid. He says, I haven't given you a spirit of fear. You can say, I'm worried and frustrated. He says, cast all your cares on me. You say, I'm not smart enough. He says, I'll give you wisdom. You say, I feel all alone. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. You might say, nobody really loves me. And he says, I always have and I always will love you. So what does this all boil down to? Well, I hope it's obvious by now. We need to start letting God take more control of our minds and stop letting others take control of our minds and let go of some of our control of our minds as well. So what would that look like? Like practically, like this Monday to Friday, as in like the next 5 days, what would that look like? I have two answers for you, and they relate to different people. Firstly, when it comes to others, your fill in there is day to day, choose to believe the best. In Romans 12, it says this: therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer yourselves offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. How pesky is that then? Like, if that then wasn't there, how much better would this be if there was no then? If there were just things that were true, like you should do this, but you're going to get this anyway. Like, how good would it be if there was no then? But there is. And so this is the deal. What does it mean? Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Well, I can tell you that with minimal Bible study, you will be able to figure out that that means putting others first and putting yourself second. And that means day to day, believing the best in people who you think might not be doing the best for you. And then there's a return. And again, this is where I think people get this idea that God's playing games with you. Oh, there's a then, there's a condition, right? God's playing games with me, I have to do this for him, and then he's gonna... But the truth is that it's not set up with a then for God's sake. I want to be clear, it's set up with a then for our sake. We have to do the first step just so that our minds are in the right place so he can do the second step. So what does this do? First of all, it frees you from some mind games where you just go, you know what? I'm not going to get sucked into this mind game. I'm not going to play the, but he said, but she started it. I'm just not going to play that. I'm choosing to believe the best day to day. And secondly, and this is perhaps the most exciting part of this, is that it's actually the first step in freeing somebody else. What if in your workplace or maybe your family or in your group of friends, what if you were the person that people were able to say, even when I did play a mind game with that person, he always believed the best in me. Even when I was screwing with her, she still believed the best about me. And she wasn't sure, so she chose to believe that maybe I wasn't messing with her. You see what I'm saying? It's the first step in freeing other people as well. And so really quickly, I want to remind you of what I said at the start. When I say choosing to believe the best in others day to day, I mean day to day. I'm not suggesting you skip out of the door and pretend that life is perfect. Bad things happen, and some people here have people who have been toxic or destructive in their lives, and having appropriate boundaries in place is the right thing to do. But, when somebody CCs the entire company, including the CEO, in on an email about a minor mistake that you made, believe the best of them. Believe that they did that for the good of the company. Believe that they saw a minor mistake and thought that other people needed to know about it so that they didn't make the same mistake, instead of believing that that person is picking on you. Look for the mind games around you this week and choose to rise above them. Be transformed by God's renewing of your mind, not your own understanding. And so secondly, for us, how do we take control of some of these mind games day to day this week? Choose to believe what God says over what others say and over what you say to yourself in your head as well. In Philippians, as in the last verse, Paul is writing to a group of early believers and advising them. And he says this, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then..." Why is there always a then? "Thank him for all he's done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." Again, the then isn't for God's benefit. The then is for our benefit. It's about us letting go so that God can step in and supply the peace instead. The peace that he gives that he doesn't give as the world gives. It's not like the peace you create for yourself. It's a different thing. So what does this look like? What does that work? Because that's a nice idea. Okay, great. I pray and then this peace comes. That's awesome. How does that actually work? If there's this process and it's partly us, why does that work? This is how it works. Praying opens us to the input of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Through scripture, like the ones we just read. Through the input of healthy, trusted, mature Christians around us. And, of course, in the direct Holy Spirit promptings that we hear during the week. Prayer is the gateway to those things. Prayer is where you let go and open yourself to that input. Remember, God isn't playing mind games with you on his planet Earth playset. He wants to speak life and hope and direction into your circumstances. I'll go a step further, in spite of your circumstances. You know, will all of this turn a corner overnight? Of course it won't. Of course not. As we trust God more, we have to learn to exercise more faith. Because what we're talking about still, what we're dealing with here, is a gap in our minds. And we're saying that God will step in and fill that gap. But that's not something we can hold on to. It's not a gap that we can see. It's not something we can schedule into our diaries. It's not something that we book in and pay the money and then some guy comes out and fills the gap for you. We have to trust that God will do that because of the promises he has for us in the Bible and because of our past experiences of it. And if you don't have any past experiences to draw on, well, then you have to take the leap and get the first experience under your belt. I'm afraid I can't put it to you any more simply than that. But for a lot of people in this room, you have your past experiences to trust and to lead you in that. And that's what faith is all about. And of course, if I had another whole message worth of time, we could talk about that link, but I don't. So I'm going to choose to use the words of somebody smarter and wiser than myself to summarize faith. And this is Eugene Peterson, and this is what he has to say about faith in a book I've been reading recently. He says this, "Faith has to do with marrying invisible and visible. When we engage in an act of faith, we give up control." See that key bit there? We have to give up the control. We give up control. We give up sensory confirmation of reality. We give up insisting on head knowledge as our primary orientation in life. I love that because for me, in my life, what I know about God and what I know about what Jesus did for me and what I know about what makes a difference in my life and how God brings real life into being a real thing, it comes down to that. I have to give up on insisting on head knowledge as my primary orientation in life. Primary. So it's still part of it, but my primary orientation in life has to be what God is saying to me. He continues on to say, "We choose to no longer operate on the basis of hard-earned knowledge, as glorious as that is, but over a lifetime to embrace the mystery that must dazzle gradually, step by step, choice by choice, lest every man go blind." Lord, we just thank you so much that you are not playing mind games with us. God, we just thank you so much that you want good for us, that you have hope for us, even when we can't see how that's going to come together. Lord, we just thank you that you want to grow our faith and that you step into our needs as we have them. Lord, show us opportunities to give up control where we need to. Give us opportunities to believe the best for others. Give us opportunities to believe the best for you this week, so that we can take back some of the mind games, take back some of the ground that's been lost, and be able to trust in you fully. Thank you so much. In your name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Gateway Family Church. We hope you join us again for another great message next week. For more information or to contact us, head to gateway.asn.au.